be here in the best hospital the state of Tennessee's got to offer. Amen. Tell you what, we come here for one purpose only. Glorify the Lord. Any other reason? It's not good enough. It's not going to do. Not going to do. If we get this relationship with Jesus Christ wrong, then nothing else matters. Don't matter how many times you've been in church. Don't matter how many times that you tried to pray. If we get this relationship with Jesus wrong, nothing else matters. There was a storm brewing there yesterday and a few days ago as well. And I pray that you didn't have any damage, wasn't injured by it. But there's a storm coming. And the one that's heading up the storm is the name Satan. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't want to just kill you immediately. He wants to take everything away from you. If we didn't come in here with joy this morning, then something's missing. And you didn't come here to hear me. You came here to hear a word from the Lord. Brother Anthony is traveling, and Ms. Maddie and Marquita, and I'd ask you to remember them in your prayers as they're on vacation for a few days. And I know they're excited about leaving, and I hope and pray they have a good, wonderful time. But would you keep them in prayer, if you would, please? And as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, asking Him to do what we cannot do, I'd ask you this morning, as I ask myself, search your heart and ask Him, what, Lord, do you want? What do you want from me here this morning? Brother Jerome's going to be preaching tonight. I plan on being here, but, you know, that's not certain. Things can happen. Pray for the service this morning and tonight and all times for that matter. As we go to the Lord this morning, take your deepest desire to Him, would you please, as we pray. Our most glorious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to worship and praise Your holy name, Lord, we bring in everything that the old devil's tried to throw at us. And we come, dear Lord, and we cannot even worship and praise You unless we're in the right spirit with You, dear Lord. And I'd ask, Lord, that You would be glorified. Lord, I'd ask You to have Your way, not what, Lord, necessarily I have prepared, because, Lord, You could change that in a moment's notice. But, Lord, I just pray my heart's desire today is Your heart's desire even more so, is not a soul will leave this house today in a lost condition. Not a soul would leave this house today in a relationship that's not pleasing unto You. Something that's not been turned over to You completely. And Lord, we think about that amazing grace, how You provided, Lord, for our salvation. You won't force it on us, but dear Lord, if we will just call upon You, You'll give us, Lord, our heart's desire. And I pray, Lord, for this service this morning. I ask You, Lord Jesus, to bless each and every family that's gathered here today. And when we leave, may we be able to all say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. For these things we pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. And Lord, I ask You once again, hide me, dear Lord. Let not man see a man standing behind this pulpit, but let him hear a word from You. That's what they came to hear from You. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Would you turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke, 12th chapter. I want to touch on a couple of verses and talking about covetousness, and if I can get that word out just right, where it sounds right. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 15 speaks of this covetousness. As we read from Scripture, he says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." We can have many things in life, stuff, but that's not the most important. And we pick up in verse 16 through 21, and the Bible says we're not to call anyone a fool, but God can call somebody a fool. A fool is somebody who acts foolish and don't use good sense. As those 16 through 21st verse says right here, the rich fool, and he spake a parable unto them. Brother Anthony has been talking about parables on Wednesday night a lot. He's saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, I want you to notice that right there. He thought within himself. He didn't ask nobody, but he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. Here it is again. Here he's in control there. I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Here where it comes in, you fool. The Lord is saying the same to all who follow the train of covetousness. This night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. May God's blessing upon the reading of his word rest upon our souls this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. There are four things I would like to share with you in these scriptures this morning. The first being, what separates a man from God? What separates us from God? First of all, in verse 17 of that scripture, in planning for himself, he forgot his neighbors. And I was reading the scripture here, and I was thinking about tearing down them barns and building new barns and everything. If you pass by the house out there, you'd think we was having a giant yard sale or a junk yard, whatever. But we got an old barn, and the insurance company said you either got to remodel it or tear it down. We chose to tear it down or tearing it down. And a neighbor came up the other day, and I was talking to him about how we was going to do it, and he said, I've got two tractors. I'll bring up here, and said, we'll cut the post on the inside, and we'll pull it with a chain and flatten it down. I didn't want anybody getting up on the roof of the barn and maybe falling through and getting hurt. So I said, well, I'll be glad to pay you. You just tell me whatever I owe you. And he said, no, you don't owe me anything. He said, my granddaddy told me that's what a neighbor's supposed to do. Who's our neighbors? Somebody that's close to us, somebody all the way up, just like who's a brother. But this man, he forgot his neighbors. He was thinking about himself. In verse 18 there in that scripture we read, it talks about he forgot the giver. That goes back a few years back, and a gentleman at church was at Welcome Valley at that particular time, and this gentleman was talking about there was a year that it wasn't very much rain and the hay was not being produced in the field like it had in time past. And he said, oh, it's bad. It's bad hay crop this year. Knee-jerk reaction, I just simply said, did you thank him when the hay was plentiful? And the man kind of dropped his head. He said, well, no, I didn't. Are we like that at times? Do we thank God when things are really good? Or do we complain when things get bad? This man here, he forgot the giver, the one who had provided. The ground was plentiful. It was so much, he said, these small barns are not enough. I'll tear them down and I'll build bigger barns to store my goods in. It don't work that way. Don't work that way. Third thing, in providing for his body, he forgot his soul. I'm not a jogger, as you can tell by looking. But you see people out here in those little almost clothes they got on, in them short shorts or biker shorts or whatever. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling it like it is. And they get out there and they run and they do all these things. They build that physical body up but have no desires, it seems like, for the spiritual body inside. My friends, it does no good for this body to be strong and the spiritual body be weak inside. Good example of that, if I had a glass of water, we'll just take this for example. If it was clean on the outside there and looked so good, and this was a glass and somebody offered you a glass of water, but the only thing about it, it was dirty on the inside. Would you want to drink from it? No. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Brother Anthony's been preaching on the Holy Spirit for many a sermon. But you know something the Holy Spirit will not do? The Holy Spirit will not live in a dirty vessel. The vessel has to be clean before the Holy Spirit will occupy. He forgot his soul. He planned to enjoy leisure, treasure, all of the things that I guess you could say money could buy. And in verse 20 there, in counting on the time, on the years, he forgot about eternity. You don't have to raise a hand. You don't have to say a thing, but I just want to ask you, do you have somebody you love dearly that's lost without Jesus Christ? Do you have somebody that if they died today, and you're not being judgmental and saying it, but you can examine the way that they live. Do you have somebody that if they died today, they would bust hell wide open? Probably all of us do. So what do we do? Preacher, I prayed and I've talked to them and I've tried to get them to come to church and I've done this and I've done that, and what else can I do? Let me tell you, you just keep on praying. You just keep on trusting. Matthew 21:22 says, in prayer, whatsoever you shall ask, believing, you shall receive. He didn't put it there just to fill up a page or a sentence there right there. He meant it. If we will pray, if we will believe, he will take care of the rest of it. He thought he had many years, but what did God say to him in verse 20? You fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. I know people throughout the time, they work and they work like crazy. They work all the overtime they can get. Folks, I'm not against work. Don't get me wrong now. I worked at a store up there at town, Morris Harwin Son, for about 13 years. Have folks to come in there. Now, this is going to tell kind of your age and everything. Some of the young ones might not know that. But how many of you remember the Air Jordans? Jordan high top shoes. How many have bought a pair of them or bought some for somebody else? We sold them. We would get about a dozen pair in on the shipments, all we could get from Nike. Those shoes would sell for $150 or more a pair. And you better get in there when they come in or you won't have your size. And I saw many mamas come in that store to buy and probably to charge, but they bought their child a pair of $150 Nike shoes, Air Jordans. I mean, they weren't just Nike shoes. They were something special. When the kids went to school, the others looked at them, look what he got on. But they would come in there and they would have an old ragged pair of shoes that looked like they needed to give to Goodwill or something, but they was wearing those kind of shoes and they'd buy a $150 pair of shoes for their child. Why? Because they love their children and they want to give them everything they possibly. How many of you heard the saying? I've heard my parents say it. I want my children to have better than what I had when I was growing up. Well, let me ask you a question. If you had a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and food to eat, how much more do you need? We get into the stuff thing. Jesus, when he spoke that parable, he was telling them that stuff is not important. What is most important in our life is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship. Turn with me over to James chapter 4 here this morning, if you would please. Look at James chapter 4 and look at what he has to say in verses 13 through 16. Now we say we're going to do something tomorrow. We're going to do something next Saturday or next week. But notice what he says. James says in verse 13 of chapter 4. He says, go to now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And while you're in James, you look at that fourth chapter, still in that fourth chapter, and notice what he says in verse 4. He's speaking to the worldliness of people. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we can get so caught up in this old world that we can leave God out completely. There's many things, and you know, back in the Old Testament, they talked about idol worship. And people said, oh, that was back in the Old Testament. Let me tell you what, in 2018, there's still idol worship going on. You say, what kind of idol worship are you talking about, preacher? Well, I'm talking about the idols that people put, but anything that you put before God is an idol. You got more interest in going to a ball game or to a race or whatever than you have in being in God's house and worshiping Him than you're worshiping an idol. I didn't come here to be popular. I didn't come here to you to pat me on the back. I come here to preach God's word as He gave it. We put other things before God, and we can't understand at times why we don't receive the blessings from God. He gives you your heart's desire. My heart's desire is to miss church and go down here and do something else, then God's not pleased with it. But this rich fool, that's what he was. He done all of these things. He had plenty of plans and time, and I'm just going to sit back. You know, I got to tell you, God starts speaking to my heart. We hear a lot about retirement. I'm going to retire. But really, for the believer in Christ, when is the real? There's no retirement. You're always in service unto the Lord. And I got news for you. You say, well, when we get to heaven, we're going to have it made. We'll retire. We won't have any. Oh, you're going to have plenty to do. That new glorified body, you're going to praise God 24 hours a day if that's the way they still measure time. You're going to do the things that's most pleasing unto Him. What we need today in this country, in this 2018, in this land that we live in, we see on the news, we see children at the border of Mexico and Texas and other places. We see all this, and you can take a side any way you want to, but let me tell you who's responsible for it. It has to be the devil. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And those kids that are separated, those kids that we feel sorry for, the devil is having a field day. He's enjoying everything he's doing to bring discomfort on God's people. Revival. We need revival in this land. I read an old story it was talking about. It said back years ago in time past, said that the church would get together and they would set a date to have revival. They would call in an evangelist. They'd call in some singers. They would advertise to get a big crowd there. They'd have a meal. You know what I'm talking about, fellowship meal, fried chicken. I'll tell you what, it's nothing wrong with eating. It's nothing wrong with food. But they would do that, and after the revival, they would say, we had a great revival. What did God say? No. Not a soul was saved. Not a person was changed. Well, preacher, you don't know what changes a person's heart. Let me tell you what. If I'm not ashamed of God, I will step forward. I will stand up. I will acknowledge Him before witnesses are gathered. You had revival of years past. You didn't have no many revivals. You had week-long revivals or two-week-long revivals back years ago. You had things happen. You had people that would start out a revival and things were happening so and souls were being saved. And they didn't have to call some people together and say, do we want to continue this? They asked God. God just kept on blessing. Revive. What is revival? To bring back. You don't have to raise your hand, but I just wonder how many plus me sometimes have lost their joy in serving the Lord. How many of us at the time when we got saved, we would do whatever the preacher asked because he's a man of God and God spoke to him and we was ready to do something. But now we kind of stand back and say, well, I don't know. Maybe you need to get somebody else. Be brought back. Need to be brought back. The world, the people around us, my loved ones, your loved ones, my neighbors, your neighbors, do they have more of God or less of God? Preacher, don't be judgmental. I'm not. I'm not the judge. He is. But you can see a person and how they do. On a Sunday morning when folks are gathering in the house of worship, what about the folks that don't have time to go? 144 hours in a week, but they don't have time to go. To bring back to life, because Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Revival is to regain strength. Get back to what you had there at one time. I think I brought it. I hope I did. Maybe I didn't. But how many, you're talking about, Bob was talking about pencils there a while ago for school supplies. You take these pencils, and they got something on the end of them, not the lead what you write on, but what's on the other end of them a lot of times? An eraser in it. What's that eraser for? To rub out a mistake, right? Isn't that just like God? We make a mistake, and He's there when we pray and we ask Him, He erases it right there. We take the eraser and erase the mistakes and everything, but notice what He does. I want to share with you that this morning, Brother Anthony was talking about revival. Does this church need revival? And who is this church? That's each and every one of us. Born again believers. Born again believers. We need reviving. Folks are dying every day. Some are going to heaven and some are going to hell because some don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When will revival happen? I know Brother Anthony's been, I heard somebody say to him, we need a revival. And he said, yes, we do. But he didn't say, we're going to have it on such and such date. Why? Because you have to prepare for revival. I saw a sign on the road this morning as I passed by. It said down there, there's a traffic light up ahead, and it says, be prepared to stop. How true that is. We need to be prepared for what God has in order for us. When will revival happen? Hold on to your seatbelt, and you're going to get mad on some of this right here, but this is what the Lord put on my heart to say to you. Revival. When will revival happen? He says, when all the sleeping folks will wake up. And all the lukewarm folks will fire up. And all the dishonest folks will confess up. And all the disgruntled folks, all the disgruntled folks will sweeten up. And all the discouraged folks will cheer up. All the depressed folks will look up. And all the estranged folks will make up. And all of the gossipers will shut up. That's one thing that hurts a church so very much is because if we've been talking about it. What do you do if you got a problem with somebody? You know what most of the modern day church, you know what most people do? They'll go over there and they'll tell Austin, you know about old Terry, you know I just don't like what he's doing. And we'll go somewhere else. And what's the Bible say? If you got a problem with somebody, you go to that person. Gossipers. And somebody, oh, my telephone has rung over the years past. I'm sure yours has too. And you can catch it when the gossip's fixing to happen. Well, Brother Dale, I want to tell you, I don't mean this as gossip, but. And I got ahead of it when they say, I don't mean this as gossip, but. And I said, well, if you're going to say something bad about a person, why don't we just carry it to the Lord? And why don't we just pray about it? I got in trouble, 1987. I've been in trouble since then, but I got in trouble in 1987. I was a kind of a young preacher. Didn't know all I needed to know probably. And first church I had an opportunity to pastor. I knew what was going on. How many of you had a party line before? Yeah, several folks on that line. And they get on that telephone and they would, on a Monday morning after a Sunday service at church, and they would start talking about things that's happening and everything. People tell me, well, you know what? Oh, so-and-so up there, I'm talking about deacons just telling me this. They say, you know, they just get on that phone and they just tear people down like everything. Well, say the Lord put it on my heart or Dale put it. I done it one of the ways. But I said one Sunday, I said, let me tell you what. These gossipers, you know, they need to come to this altar and they need to lay that tongue down on this altar. I don't know whether the altar is large enough to hold it or not. I didn't make no friends, but they understood what it was. Did it stop gossiping? I don't know. I don't think so. Revival will happen when all the dry bones will shake up. Heard about it in it. And all the, oh, I want to use that last right there. If you want revival, how many of you really want revival? How many of you really need revival? How many of you need something from the Lord that you don't have? You want something from Him? Is He just standing back and saying, well, I want you to beg me. I want you to keep on asking me. No, He wants to give you your heart's desire. How many of you, I asked before, how many of you know somebody? I'm talking about a church member you used to sit in Sunday school with. They don't come anymore. They used to be here on Wednesday night for Bible study, but they don't show up anymore. They don't come on Sunday night anymore because I honestly believe in a lot of the churches, either folks don't know they have Sunday night service. I'm going to get in trouble right here, but I'm going to say it anyway. They either don't know they have Sunday night service or they don't care. They don't care. Or they're not able to come at night. I will say that because some people that fall in that group as well. But if you've lost your joy, if you're not doing the things that you used to do, how many of you have ever made a promise and you tried to keep it? You made a promise to the Lord before. When you got saved, you made a promise to Him, didn't you? What was some of the wording you said? Lord, if you will just get me out of this mess, if you'll just save my soul, I repent of my sin, and Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But after we get saved, we feel like it. I don't know whether I need to really do all that or not. I made a promise one time, and I didn't keep it. My sons, Michael and Matthew, both were sick. They were about a year old or a little less than a year old, and they was in the old Giles County Hospital over there, and they had, I don't know what it was, but they was dehydrating. They couldn't keep anything down, and They stayed over there almost a week, and Dr. Davis, he sent them to Fayetteville over there to the hospital. I remember us going to Pulaski to Fayetteville in that ambulance, and I remember Pat was riding in the back of that ambulance with her back towards the way we was going, and she was sick as everything by the time we got there because of riding like that. But I remember praying. I remember saying, Lord, if you'll only make my boys well, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And they got well, but I lied because I didn't do what I told him I'd do. I didn't do what I told him I'd do. But revival. Revival will happen when true soldiers of the cross, true soldiers of the Lord, will stand up and speak up. And if you're here today and you really want revival, this church needs soul warriors. This church needs people who will stand up and say, even though the world can throw everything at me, I'm going to take what God has and I'm going to go with it. And if you're here today and you really want revival in your heart, you need to stand up and you need to speak up. But when this invitation is given this morning, when that song is played, just as I am without one plea, but his precious blood was shed for me, then you need to come down this aisle and you need to, if you can't kneel at this altar, you don't have to, if you come and you stand, or if you come and you sit on that front pew right there, God knows your needs, and when you're walking down that aisle, he knows what you're wanting when you come down here. If we're ever going to win the lost to Christ, then this church and other churches, but this church has got to reach out. This church has got to win lost people to Christ. Need to speak up. Need to speak up. Need to stand up. Would you stand up? Would you ask God to use you in a mighty way? The devil would have me to assume congregation here this morning. Everybody, y'all remember the old song we used to sing in the songbook, when we all get to heaven? What a day of rejoicing that'll be. I remember that. I remember as a teenager they were singing it. And here's the teenagers thinking here. When they were singing it, when we all get to heaven, I was thinking everybody in that church, everybody was singing that song, is going to be in heaven one day. Not necessarily the truth. You can sing a song, but do you live a song? Do you sing it? If we get this relationship with Jesus wrong, then all else, it doesn't matter. But this morning, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to come and ask the Lord for forgiveness. I don't know what the sin is. Oh, Lord, it's a good thing I don't know what your sin is. Good thing you don't know what my sin is. If you knew as much as God did about me, how much would you love me? Yeah. He knows it all, and he still loves me. This invitation this morning is to all who will come, all who will ask him. And we've saw people coming throughout.